God has got a great word for us tonight through five different people. Instead of one, you're going to get five sermons tonight. Yes. Some of you are like, oh my goodness. The good news is that they're only 6 minutes long each. And there is a clock. There's going to be a countdown clock up there, men and Joanne. And we've got snipers that are going to help if you go too long. No, I'm excited about this. We had six, and Thomas was one, and he couldn't make it tonight. But so we're going to have five speakers. And this is the deal. I gave them a topic of God's love. And I said, you've got the topic of God's love. You've got 6 minutes, and you cannot share notes with each other. You cannot talk about this to each other. You cannot collaborate in any way. And so they might all get up and say the same thing. They may get all up here and say something completely different. But we're trusting that whatever it is what God wants us to hear tonight. So everybody get behind these people and preach with them. All right? Come on up here, Mike.
Thank you. There is nothing like the love of God. It is the most overwhelming thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. It is the greatest thing God has ever done for you and I. God's love is inseparable. I can't understand it. I don't know why, but I know I've experienced it, and I know I can never be separated from it. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. God's love is unending. Man can never reach a place when he will not be loved by God. God loved us first. He even loves us when we are jacked up. And we can all admit it, that we are jacked up in some way or another. In other words, though we are incomplete, God loves us completely. God's love is unmerited. It cannot be earned, nor is it deserved. And I want to say that one more time. God's love is unmerited. We cannot earn his love, nor do we deserve his love. God's love is unconditional. It is not based on what we can or cannot produce. Unlike earthly affection, his love does not fluctuate. God does not care for us more if we please him or care for us less if we fail him or run astray from him. And that reminds me of the parable of the lost sheep. And if we can put ourselves in the story and think about that shepherd, how much he loved that sheep, that he left those 99 to go find that one. And now think about that sheep. Think about how scared he was, how lost he was, how he may have been hungry. Maybe he was wet. Maybe he was cold. We don't know. But guess what? I was that lost sheep one time. He came looking for me. You know, I was lost. I didn't know which direction I was going except probably southbound. And I was scared of running. I mean, I was tired of running. I was scared to death. But he came looking for me. He loved me so much that he came looking for me. So if you wonder why I'm excited, now you know. He came looking for me. Throughout the Bible, there have been men who demonstrated God's love, and I want to talk about three of them real quick. Joseph, he demonstrated forgiving love. He was lied about. He was sold as a slave. He was ripped from his home and his father. He was falsely accused. He was put in prison. He waited, all because of his jealous brothers, yet he still forgave. Number two is Hosea. He demonstrated redeeming love. He had a wife. Her name was Gomer. She was a prostitute. But what a redeeming story of love that he had for her, that he took her back. You see, God's redeeming love frees us from guilt and fear. Number three is Peter, and that's compassionate love. He denied him, he lied about him, yet Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. God's love is more than just being loved. It is opening our lives so that the Lord can love through us, so that he can reach a world through us for himself. I believe the best means we have of thanking him for his love is by letting him love through us and reach others for him. You see, God personifies love. In fact, if it has to do with God, it has to do with love. The Bible clearly says God is love. You see, mercy is God's forgiving love. Grace is God's undeserving love. Peace is God's comforting love. The will of God is God's unerring love. Providence is God's caring love. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's proven love. Sanctification is God's nurturing love. Heaven is God's rewarding love. And eternity is God's unending love. Psalms 100 and verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." I'm so thankful that his love is unfailing, because so many times I have failed him. But I'm so thankful that he's never left my side. He's always been there. He was always there looking for me. And I'm so thankful for that. I want you to take a piece of paper out real quickly. If you find one, that's fine, or you can write it down later, put it on your phone, whatever the case may be. And I want you to write this. I want you to write, "I love you!" exclamation point. From God. You put that anywhere you want to put that, so it could be a reminder of that he loves you. Thank you.
So what takes an individual who is ashamed, with diminished self-worth, someone who goes to great lengths to avoid people, and makes them into an instant evangelist? Let me tell you, an encounter with God's transforming love. A love that says you're not worthless, but you're important. A love that says you're more than your cumulative life experiences, more than your mistakes, more than your failure, you're more. A love that says you are important. Let's look at the text. John chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. He came to a Samaritan town called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" What this text doesn't say explicitly is that only those people who were outcasts came to draw water at the sixth hour. Because the sixth hour was when the sun was at its hottest. Only those who didn't want to be seen by others would come to the well at that time. At the sixth hour, or as you know it, at 12 noon, it was very hot, and the well was probably about half a mile out of the town. And let's do a little math here. A gallon of water is about 8 pounds. And if she was carrying water for herself and the person who she lives with, that would be 16 pounds of water to carry at the hottest time of the day, just because she didn't want to encounter anyone else. What the text also doesn't say is that Samaritans and Jews were enemies. That for Jesus to actually be considering taking a drink from her would make her unclean based on the religious custom of the day. that actually even approaching her at the well was a taboo for upstanding men of the day. But on this day, she encounters God's love. On this day, she has a different experience from everything else she's had before. On this day, she was no longer condemned, she was affirmed. On this day, she found kindness. She found patience. She found out that her records of wrongs were not on parade, for she found God's love. So what did she do? Yes, she was made to reconcile with her past, but she wasn't condemned. And verse 28 tells us that she put her water jug down and she went into the city and she said to the people, "Come, come and see a man who told me everything that I have done." Could this man be the Christ? I love the fact that where she went to great lengths to avoid people, she was now running towards them to tell them about God's love. Yes, she had experienced God's transforming love. God's love is transforming when we realize that it was freely given, as Mike just shared. God loves transforms us when we recognize that we are loved even when we were yet sinners. God loves helps us to recognize that his love is not bound by tradition. God's love transformed this woman and made her into someone who was willing to share. Yes, her life was a mess before. Yes, she had mishaps. But in experiencing God's love, she was willing to bring a message to all around. Has God's love transformed you? It still says you are forgiven. It still says you are mine. God's love still says you don't have to live in condemnation because you are forgiven. Have you experienced God's love?
I have an extra 1 minute. No, I don't. Amen. Thank you for Herbert. It's a good thing that there are 31,000 verses in the Bible because they use just about every one that I planned on using tonight. Thank you, Brother Herbert and Brother Michael. But I have one that you cannot say. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old. Yeah. I have not seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. He is ever lending generously, and in his children become a blessing. As some of you may know, about a week and a half ago, I was in the hospital, and I was plugged in and inspected, neglected, rejected, and pretty much violated along the way. And I'm sitting there with hoses and things in me. And I looked around the hospital room, and here was my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter, and then here comes my sons, Brother Hollyfield, Brother Chris, Sister Mitchell. And in the midst of that, when they're saying you had a stroke or you didn't have a stroke or you got EKGs and EEGs and every kind of G that there was, in all of this process, a peace came over me and a heart came over me. And I realized that they got the diagnosis wrong. It was not a stroke. It was a heart condition. And I looked around and I began to weep in my heart. And I thought, you know what? And God said, you're all right. And I'm going to give you a scripture. And this comes out of Ezekiel. He said, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. There is nothing that can change you like the spirit of Almighty God. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You didn't go looking for it. He came looking for you. He came reaching for you. He came saying, hey, how about? And so I'm going to do three different things. There are three phases of love that God pursued. Number one is a
as a romance. Remember the first time that you fell for someone and your heart pity patted and you could do no wrong for them, and Chris and Willis are still that way right now. And so anyway, but you know what it is? It's you love them and you want to please them, and you want them to think that you're the coolest thing that there is on the, and you got swag. Swag's a good term. And so, you know, here you are, you want to impress them. And so you borrow your brother's car. Yeah, I'm cool. You do not want to drive the beat up 61 Plymouth that you own, all right? I'm just telling you. And so you impress them, but that's a way of love, and you want to do everything you can for them. And then when you fall in love, there comes a phase where you become a father, you're a parent. And somewhere as you begin to hold your first child, your heart begins to change, and your heart begins to weep, and your heart begins to love. And you begin to realize there's something greater than whatever this was. And this is exactly what Jesus did. When he pursued you, when you were not worth pursuing, and there was none of us that were worth pursuing. When he walked into the drug dens and he found you. And he walked in the areas of depression and he pulled you out. And when he walked into the alcoholic bars and he said, I think I need you more than you need this. And he began to pull you out of there. And so his love began to say, I'm a little bit better than that. I can give you something that can't give you. And the next thing he said, I'm gonna give you a little birth, okay? I'm gonna rebaptize you. I'm gonna give you birth in my spirit. I'm gonna put a new heart in you. And I'm gonna take that stony heart out of you. And I'm gonna make you love things that you never thought you would love before. And so in admiration, you look at your grandchildren and you weep over them. But the greatest love is this. No man has a greater love than he would lay down his life for his brother. And I have 9 children with my wife combined. That's a lot. And what this church does not do in white hair for me, they do. And I'm telling you. But in those 9 children, and some of you have lost one of your children, and it's just wrong for you to lose one of your children. I almost lost my son, Michael. He went through a year of rehab. He was in ICU for almost 90 days, and the internist said, he's not going to make it, and the heart is ripped out of us. But I want you to think about God, who loved us so much that he passed out to you his son. He said, Pastor, I'll send you my son, even though it's not right that your children should die before you. And so I can stand before you 45 years later and tell you that over the years, whether I walked with him or I walked away from him, he has been faithful. He has always been faithful. The Spirit of God has always been there. He has always come close. And even when I didn't look, there was never a time that I walked into the worship of God that I didn't feel the Holy Ghost move within me. And if God could give his son and redeem you and bring you close, there is no greater love than that, because I would give my life for my children. I would willingly give up my life to save the life of my child. God bless.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and confess some of what I have to say has already been said tonight, and I'm going to urge you to listen even closer to what's already been said, because I believe that God has a purpose in that. And we were at the prison ministry this past Sunday, and the word that I had was the same word that Brother Laddie had there too. So I'm believing that God wants to have this word move forward in your life. I started preparing for this tonight by looking in Wikipedia to see what it had to say about love. And I was very interested to see what it said. So a couple of excerpts from that is, love is an emotion of strong affection and personal attachment. It's a virtue representing all human kindness, compassion, and affection. And it's the unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. It goes on to say that there's so many diversity and uses for the meanings of this word, that combined with that complexity of the feelings involved, love is actually unusually difficult and hard to consistently define. So when I read that and I thought, I've got 6 minutes to prepare something that is hard to define, and I about gave up right then, but I didn't. I read on. It said, love may be understood as part of the survival instinct. Listen to this. A function to keep human beings together against menaces and to facilitate the continuation of our species. Love is sometimes referred to as the international language, overriding all cultural and linguistic divisions. I then turned to my word to see what God had to say to me, and like Wikipedia, there's so much to say in the Bible about love that it cannot be said in one night. Corinthians 13:13 says, but now faith, hope, love abide in these three, but the greatest of these is love. Listen for a minute there. Love is greater than faith, according to the holy word of God. Jesus said that the greatest commandments are to love God and to love one another. And he also said that, I command you to love one another. And having said that, I think that we should spend more time thinking about how we love one another and how we love God. I found in my search that humanistic love is very different from godly love. First of all, Satan is working to twist this great gift that God has given us, this great mission that he has put us on. The enemy is serious about messing up love. And he does it with lust, adultery, pornography, idolatry. He does it with addictions. He does it with hate. He does it with homosexuality. He wants to twist this beautiful gift. And he's winning that battle all around us every day. And it's not so much that Satan is out there roaming around seeking whom he may destroy, but us humans, we're pretty good at messing it up too. We're pretty good at messing it up too. You know, we have this saying that is so common and it's so funny to say, well, it's a thin line between love and hate. And you know, it is a thin line between love and hate when you're a human being. In fact, it's a lot easier to hate someone than to love someone. And it's very easy to be judgmental to strangers and other people. And let me tell you, if you didn't know me, I work in the restaurant business. And I've been around some really hateful people because when they get hungry, you know that food ain't coming out quick enough. And then, you know, we've all seen it in our walks, but what really I think my heart breaks for the fact that it seems like the ones that are closest to us that we love the most are the ones that receive the least of our love. Devil is trying to tear us apart. Romans 7:24, that whole passage talks about the struggle that we have as Christians. The struggle of having the Spirit of Christ in us that wants to do good in a body and a mind that's fleshly that won't allow us to do that. It's the struggle that we have. And he sums it up by saying, wretched man that I am. But let me tell you something. 1 John 3:20, it says that for God is greater than our hearts. And we can give glory and honor and praise to God that he is greater than the heart that is within us, that the flesh that is bound, that we're bound in. His love is greater, and he is greater than our sin, than our weakness, and than our failures. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we think and talk a lot about the fact that the son was crucified, but we don't talk about that it was because of love. It was because of love. And I'm going to repeat Romans verse 8, 38, and 39, even though it's been said already tonight, but it was said twice at the prison ministry, and I believe you need to hear it again. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. And you can add anything you want in there. Can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I give myself away. Ooh. I give myself away so you can use me. I love that song. This is a song that William McDowell wrote to God when he made a decision to give himself away, to give his whole life away to him. He was saying, not only do I give myself away, but I give my whole life to you. Yeah. He wrote, here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hand. In other words, God, I'm trusting you with everything. Yeah. Psalm 63 was David's song to God when he made his decision that said, God, I give myself away. Not only for you to use me, but I give this situation to you as well. And I give it to you in a way that says, God, your love is better than my life. Psalm 63 was written when people who were once loyal to him were now his enemies and trying to kill him. In other words, he had people issues. And he was in the desert in Judah, which means that he was in a very dry place in his life. And sometimes in those dry places, it's really hard to hear from God. But David refused to allow his problems, his situation, and his issues have victory over his life. So he declared in the song, when I open my eyes in the morning, you're the first thing on my mind, God. When I close my eyes at night, you're the last thing on my mind. In other words, David refused to be totally engulfed in his problems and issues, so he made a conscious decision to give it all to God. He made up in his mind, his heart, and his soul that God's love was better than his life and all that encompassed his life. But then David took his faith and his trust in God to a whole new level, and I love this. He let his situation know, you do not have control, God does. You have no victory over me. You don't have the final say-so, God does. David declared in his heart, I will trust and believe in God, even though I stand in the middle of this mess in my life. Through difficult situations, we have to declare, I will not be defeated. I will not be depressed. I refuse. I will not resort to taking my own life, but I stand in the midst of my situation knowing, God, your love will get me through this. And the end of the story, David came out of that situation. He came out of that dry place, and he went to be victorious because he chose to stand on and trust in the love of God. David was able to continue declaring in his heart, God, I can continue to give myself away to you because, God, your love is better than my life. And we have to come to that same conclusion. When the doctors gave me the wrong medication and it caused me to have a heart block and it caused me to have problems with my speech, I had to say, God, but I trust you. And it seems like this is a joke that you would call me to ministry, to open my mouth and minister your word, when now I'm having problems with my speech in a way that I've never had before. So I had to stand, and I had to stand strong in God's word and in his love. And I said, well, if you call me, God, even if nobody else understands me, I know you understand. And that's all I need. And so in this, I too had to learn, I give myself away. Ooh. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Ooh, I give myself away so you can use me. How many of you have given yourself away to God? That no matter what the doctors say, my heart still wants to beat on its own sometimes, and sometimes it still has its own rhythm, but I'm okay with that. And sometimes I get so nervous that my words get so tied up and you can't understand the thing I say, but I'm okay with that. Because I had to learn, I give myself away. Ooh. I give myself away so you can use me.
Can use me.
Give myself away.
This is an easy song. Just remain standing. We're going to close right now.